Good morning. It is Wednesday, September 21st. Things that are trending this hour. The UN General Assembly, the United Nations Secretary, warned that war, famine, and climate change are setting the stage for a winter of global discontent. Also trending, the autumn equinox. Guess what? It becomes fall officially tomorrow at 9:03 p.m. And finally trending, two people who wish to remain anonymous. Why? Well, they've claimed their $1.3 billion Mega Millions jackpot.
Yeah, this is the thing, right?
Yeah.
During the break, Casey's like, I have big news for you, and I'm not going to tell you until we get on the air, because I want to see your reaction. Somebody finally said,
yes.
Hey, I guess I won the $1.3 billion.
Mm-hmm. It was that single ticket from July that was sold in the Chicago suburbs. They opted to take a lump sum payment. What do you think the lump sum payment
is? Okay, I think they talked about this at the time. Was it like it was over $700 million?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
$780.
Okay, so it's $780 million,
mm-hmm.
And I know we do this quite a bit, but gosh darn it, it's fun every time we do it. At $780 million, let's say applicable taxes in Indiana,
mm-hmm.
30, what is it? State income taxes, 3%, federal rate. Let's say it's roughly 35% by the time you incorporate all applicable taxes. So whatever, 65% of how? What was the number?
780.
Okay, so
I'm trying to do 780.
Okay, so what is 65% of $780 million? Okay, Jayden's got it. That can't be right.
780.
So if you just take 780 times 0.65.
507.
You're off one comma. That's okay. 507 million. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the Purdue guy over here can't do math. The IU guy's got to correct him. That's just terrible.
So you take 780 times 0.65, and that's how you get it.
Okay. So 507 million. dollars would be transferred into your mm-hmm. bank account mm-hmm. for you. That is free of taxes and everything else in the state of Indiana for you to do as you please. Wow, what sort of fun you could have with $507 million.
So there were two people who claimed it, so they got to split that money. You're still left with $253 million.
So wait, there was more than one person that won?
It was two people who claimed the one ticket.
Oh, man, how disappointing would that be? I won! We got to split it with somebody.
Yeah.
Oh!
I think you'd be okay with $253 million. That's after taxes.
Okay, but this does really run a little bit of interference on what I had planned to do with my money, Casey.
I think you can still get your plane that trails a banner
that says
something derogatory about Todd Young.
Oh, I would. But here, I have a new
or
thing.
Or Holcomb.
Well, I would do both of those.
Okay.
But now I am going to have to divvy up my money a little differently because there is a new website that I would be boosting the wazoo out.
What website is that?
There's a new website out. It is the most glorious, fabulous thing ever. And by the way, Casey, we're mentioning this on the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know why we're mentioning it on the air? Because my friend Drew Anderson, who I don't agree with on absolutely anything, who's the comms director for the Democrats, but is mm-hmm. very nice,
mm-hmm.
sent this to me
mm-hmm.
as requested via email.
Yeah.
Boy, isn't that amazing how that works when people have respect and listen to the show and know here's how they do business over at Kendall and Casey. He wasn't texting me. He wasn't calling me. He just sent it. He didn't even ask me to share it. I'm just sharing it. I would be boosting the wazoo with $253 million
mm-hmm.
Out of a website that is now out. And I love this. And it's the most amazing thing ever. And I'm going to have to bookmark it. It's called twofacedtodd.com.
Of course
it is. And it's all dedicated to the hypocrisy of Todd Young. And my favorite thing, my most favorite thing about this twofacedtodd.com,
mm-hmm.
I challenge anybody to go to twofacedtodd.com and then say, yes, Republican, Democrat, whatever you are, and still say, this guy is worthy of my vote. My favorite thing is, you know, it's all the bad things Todd Young has supposedly said about Joe Biden. And then they have a giant photo of Todd Young with Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Chuck Schumer, I think Nancy Pelosi is in here, when they all got together to add tens of billions of dollars to the national debt and drive inflation when they did the CHIPS Act together.
Oh, there he is. They circled his head with an arrow.
This is the most glorious, wonderful thing ever. And look, we don't like, we being me and my buddy Drew Anderson, who we don't agree on anything, we don't like Todd Young for totally different reasons, but the one thing we can both agree on, Democrats, liberals, and conservatives alike, Todd Young is an awful, horrific United States senator, and please, please, please don't vote to send him back.
There's also a picture on here. He's just holding money. TwoFaceTodd.com. It looks like the same people who made the Diego Morales.
It probably is.
DiegoNoMorals.com
website. Look, we have no, no one's under the delusion that we want the same thing. Rob Kendall and the Democrats, we want very different alternatives to Todd Young, but you can absolutely agree, and I will promote this right now, TwoFaceTodd.com. TwoFaceTodd.com is absolutely glorious. Good job by the Democrats.
So they say that he says one thing in Indiana but does another in Washington, D.C. And I just have to point this out because it's something that you mention all the time.
Yes.
Todd Young claimed to be a Marine. That's on the website.
But again, I will get off of this. But this picture of him, for all the crap he talks about Joe Biden, which he should be, because Joe Biden is a terrible, awful president who's done terrible, awful things, yet when it was Todd Young's thing, right, and this is the most government, American society thing ever, and we talk about this all the time, how people are super conservative until it's their dealio, and then when it's their dealio, well, sign me up for whatever government pork that is because I want my dealio. The photo of Todd Young with Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Chuck Schumer, I think Pelosi's in there somewhere. It's a cavalcade of Democrats and Todd Young.
But do you notice his face? He looks concerned.
Well, probably at some...
Everybody else is smiling and having a good time, patting each other on the back, and he looks like, oh, I'm in the wrong place.
He looks like, and I know this is not what happened, but he was three Long Islands in at Kilroy's, and somebody grabbed him and said, sir, you've got a bill signing to be. I mean, like his hair's like disheveled, and at some point he realized... I don't know if this was Igor, his evil, awful assistant, who did this. I don't know who is responsible for this, but whoever allowed this poor man to be at this photo op should have been fired immediately, because it is though the look on Todd's face is as though at some point it dawned on him, there are cameras here.
There might be evidence of this.
But it is such a great display of the hypocrisy of this clown Senator Todd Young, who espouses, oh, I hate deficits, I hate government spending, I hate Biden, I hate Schumer, Pelosi, Kamala. And then there he is when it's his thing. Mm-hmm. And not only is he at the photo op, but we talked about it all last week, he missed a vote on a federal judge so he could go play grab ass with Eric Holcomb at Purdue University and the Biden administration touting all this national debt that he added for semiconductors.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Let's get into what Kamala had to say. Speaking of her, she was in the picture, so now let's hear from her. Biden was told not to transfer student loan debt by Janet Yellen, also by his wife, Jill Biden. But Kamala pushed him to do it, and the $1 trillion scheme is being unveiled. And it's being unveiled before it was properly costed, right? But that's not enough, is it? You give them an inch, they're going to take a mile, Rob.
And that's the key for what people need to realize is the 10K giveaway, if it holds up in court or whatever, it doesn't matter. The liberals will never stop. It has to keep eating. Government has to control more and more and more and more. They will. It's like Pac-Man, right? The thing has to keep going. You have to keep going after, on the little screen, keep gobbling up the stuff. Because once you stop gobbling up the stuff, the game is over. So there has to be more to consume. And here's Kamala saying, next, we're coming for free community college.
We have seen great accomplishments, but we still have a lot more work to do. We still need to make, for example, community college free for all people. We know that access to quality education should not be determined by whether or not you can afford it.
So, because when you go to community college, you will find a job in the community and help the community and be a part of the community that has a community college. That's a callback to earlier. I don't know if you caught that. By the way, I did look up to see how much or how many student loan transfers will happen in Indiana. They just released the information. Over 40 million Americans are expected to qualify for the student loan transfer. And in Indiana, let's see, it says here, estimated number of eligible borrowers, 856,400. And estimated number of eligible Pell Grant borrowers, 555,500. So there's some numbers. They finally released those. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC, 16 minutes after 11. Good morning. So the United States Postal Service announced investments in personnel, technology, and even the postal network footprint. They're doing this in advance of the holiday season. So they have 100,000 part-time employees that they're going to convert to full-time positions. They plan on hiring an additional 28,000 seasonal employees. They expect to process 60 million packages each day during the Christmas season, and they have a fleet of over 200,000 vehicles ready to deliver. 19 minutes after 11 is Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. But none of this will help you try to get a package from one side of Indianapolis to the other.
Okay, let me
in a timely manner.
Let me first of all say, when we're talking about the post office, we're talking about as a collective. Mm-hmm. I have the most fabulous mailman in the entire world. He is great. He is awesome. He is wonderful. Whatever he makes, it should be doubled. Mm-hmm. So let me be very clear on that. I've had him for years and years and years and years, and he is great. And he's also friends with Nigel, so it works out fabulous. But that being said, there are clearly some serious issues with the post office as a collective, and I think their financial issues and long-term stability have been well versed over the years. And somebody sent me a tracking of their package, mm-hmm. and I want to read this to you,
okay.
Because this, someone should look at this and go, what, maybe this is why there's such a big issue, okay?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, so this person lives in Indianapolis, and the item they purchased was also being shipped by someone in Indianapolis.
Okay.
They did the math. There was approximately a 15-mile difference between where the seller lived and where they were purchasing the item in question,
okay?
All right, so I'm going to read you the tracking of said item, okay?
Okay.
All right. September 17th, shipping label created, UPS awaits item in Indianapolis. Great. Also September 17th, pre-shipment info sent, UPS awaits item. Great, very good. Now here we get to the fun part, all right? Also September 17th, the afternoon of September 17th, United States Post Office in possession of item, Fishers, Indiana. Mm-hmm. So the item was available in Fishers, Indiana. Also, the evening of September 17th, item departs post office in Fishers, Indiana. Keep in mind, item going from one greater central Indiana area to another greater central Indiana area.
Mm-hmm.
15 miles difference. September 18th, afternoon, checks back up on the scanner. Process through United States Post Office facility. Where might you ask, Casey? Des Moines, Iowa. But wait, there's more.
Wow.
One day later, arrives at USPS facility. Where might you ask? Cincinnati, Ohio.
Cincinnati.
Then it stays in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Then it stays in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Then it stays in Cincinnati. Finally, on the evening of the 19th, so keep in mind it was shipped on the 17th.
Uh-huh.
On the 19th, it is gone from Fishers to Des Moines, to Cincinnati, arrives at United States Post Office Regional Facility, Indianapolis, Indiana, and as of the morning of the 20th when this was sent to me, it remained in Indianapolis.
Wow.
So the item went from Indianapolis, mm-hmm. from Fishers, to Des Moines, to Cincinnati, back to Indianapolis for something that the person, I guess, had they known, maybe they would have just done this, could have drove over to the other person's
house.
Driven
over there.
And in 15 minutes, secured the item in question. Look, I'm sure there's a reason for all this.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless, there's a lot of really hardworking people for the post office. But that seems like a really, really wasteful way to do business.
Yeah, it does. The post office is hiring right now. If you would like to check out or apply for one of the thousands of open positions they have, you can go to usps.com/hiring. 11:23 with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Let's talk about this meteorologist. This guy's name is Eric Adam. He's a meteorologist for Spectrum News in New York. He said that he was terminated from his position after he secretly appeared on an adult camera website.
He
posted to, I think he said this on Instagram, "I'm taking this opportunity to share my truth rather than let others control the narrative of my life," which I really like. I like that. You say it.
Right.
He says, despite being a public figure and being on television in the biggest market in the country, in front of millions of people 5 days a week for more than a decade and a half, I secretly appeared on an adult website. On the site, I acted out my compulsive behaviors while at home by performing on camera. He said it was 100% consensual, but...
Does this say when he did this?
He got terminated for it.
Was this a thing like 30 years ago? Or
no, this was recently.
Okay, so this was recent. This wasn't a thing like in college, I made a willful discretion.
This just happened.
Right.
He said that first and foremost, he wants to apologize to his employers, his coworkers, his audience, his family, his friends, and they expected and deserved better from him. And then he went on to say that he hopes somebody who wants to hire him in the future will, you know, realize that he realizes that he probably shouldn't have done that and made a poor decision, and that the salacious video is probably going to be around making the rounds, and he hopes it doesn't define him in our clickbait culture.
Now this is why I put the story at the table, because this is what's interesting. The compulsive internet age in which we live, right? Mm-hmm. So if you had told this guy you'd have to be a male escort essentially to do what he did in a former time, right? Before the computer, the cellular telephone, the whatever is at your fingertips 24 hours a day, and by the turning on of a camera and the clicking of a button, you could be an adult cam website, whatever he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time where you would have really had to work to do that. And so he probably would have put a lot of thought into that and like, all the effort I got to do to do this, how is this going to affect my career? What if people find out? Mm-hmm. You have the process of thinking things through before you would have made that decision. So whether it's a right or wrong choice, you would have had the time to properly, in your own mind, vet it out. And maybe you still came to the same conclusion. I don't know. But in the instant age in which we live, and this is something that I have gotten much better at as I've gotten older. I still occasionally have to remind myself of this. If you are going to make a decision where there is a doubt in your mind before you make said decision, or there is any possible ramification, give it an hour.
Before you hit send.
Give it a day.
Yeah.
Call a friend. Yeah. I've gotten much better at this over the years. I still occasionally will hit send before properly thinking it all the way through. But yes, this should be a reminder to you, in the instant internet age, if there's any doubt for what you're about to do, give it a minute, give it an hour, give it a day, and if you still come to the same conclusion, then go forward. This guy probably wishes now that he had not done that.
He actually filed a lawsuit in the New York Supreme Court against Unit 4 Media, and he's seeking the identity of the anonymous user who sent images from the website to not only his employer, but his mama.
Wait. So he did it on the internet.
He did it on the internet, and he didn't tell anybody. So he's pretty much living a secret life.
But he did it on the internet.
He did it on the internet. I'm sure it was a pay-for-play sort of thing.
Uh-huh. Which, nothing wrong with that.
And some anonymous user took pictures of the monitor and then sent the pictures to not only his boss, but his mom.
Okay, now this is clearly,
Somebody had an axe to grind with this guy.
I would find out whatever scorned lovers you've had in your past, which one did you offend the most? And I would start there and work my way back, because sending it to the mom is a dead giveaway.
Well, when you used to break up, it was give me my hoodie back, right? Now it's what, give me my nudes back? Yeah. Well, I think the TV station had a right to fire him, especially if he had a morality clause. They don't want to be associated with that. 11:28, it's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. the dumbest man on TV. That's what Donald Trump called him. He's talking about Don Lemon. Now social media users are piling on. He made this decision to have this discussion with this royalist, and they were asking about reparations.
This is so good, Casey. This clip is longer than what we normally play on this show. But this lady's name is Hillary Fordwich.
And she's a royal commentator.
I don't know what that means.
She's a reporter who covers the royal.
I see. Boy, what a terribly
what a gig, right?
Cushy yet boring job that must be. Today, Prince Charles counted a wad of cash.
Yeah.
Today, William and his entitled kids rode in a horse-drawn carriage. I mean, whatever, fine. But she was awesome on this because, and this is what amazes me throughout the whole Summer of Love and America's a racist nation and America's founded and rooted in awfulness and going back to the days of Columbus, everybody's horrific and America must pay and it must be, you know, burned down and rebuilt in a better image. Nobody stopped and raised their hand and said, let's have the real conversation about, if we're going to have a real conversation about slavery, let's have the real conversation about slavery, all of it. And nobody was willing to do that, I guess, out of being petrified of being canceled or whatever. This lady, because I'm guessing she had some, you know, deep-seated love affair for the queen and the royal family, she wasn't having any of it. And we are going to play you this clip, which is a little longer than what we normally play, but it is absolutely perfect. Everyone should take with it and do as they please. And Don Lemon's response at the end, or lack thereof, is absolutely
my stunned face.
Just the best part of all of it. Enjoy this glorious audio.
Well, this is coming when, you know, there's all of this wealth and you hear about it comes as England is facing rising costs of living, a living crisis, austerity budget cuts, and so on. And then you have those who are asking for reparations for colonialism, and they're wondering, you know, $100 billion, $24 billion here and there, $500 million there. Some people want to be paid back, and members of the public are wondering, why are we suffering when you are, you know, you have all of this vast wealth? Those are legitimate concerns.
Well, I think you're right about reparations in terms of if people want it, though, what they need to do is you always need to go back to the beginning of a supply chain. Where was the beginning of the supply chain? That was in Africa. And when that crossed the entire world, when slavery was taking place, which was the first nation in the world that abolished slavery? The first nation in the world to abolish it. It was started by William Wilberforce, was the British. In Great Britain, they abolished slavery. 2,000 naval men died on the high seas trying to stop slavery. Why? Because the African kings were rounding up their own people. They had them on cages waiting in the beaches. No one was running into Africa to get them. And I think you're totally right. If reparations need to be paid, we need to go right back to the beginning of that supply chain and say, who was rounding up their own people and having them handcuffed in cages? Absolutely. That's where they should start. And maybe, I don't know, the descendants of those families where they died at in the high seas trying to stop the slavery, that those families should receive something too, I think, at the same time.
It's an interesting discussion, Hillary. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We'll continue to discuss in the future.
When you see someone get stunned by history, he just got schooled right in front
absolutely.
Of him. You know?
It's the most perfect thing that could have been said to him. And of course, with Don Lemon, you don't know whether he just didn't know or tried to pull the usual bull crap they pull on CNN, and whoever the liberal guest is will just either let him get away with it or go along with it.
Yeah.
And he had no
answer.
She
was not having it. And she was professional about it too.
Absolutely. And you're right. And slavery has been going on all throughout human history. It's awful. It's abhorrent. Whether it was blacks doing it to blacks or white doing it to blacks or white doing it to white. But it has been going on throughout all of human history. And the fact that we are led to believe, and the great thing about America is, Casey, our founding fathers recognized a major flaw, and there was great discussion and a great fight at the inception and foundation of the country about the idea of slavery. And there were many, many of the founding fathers who were absolutely adamant about what slavery was, is that it's awful, it's abhorrent, it's evil. But they recognized in order to form the country, it had to exist. And they spent the majority of their time until Abraham Lincoln became president and the Civil War was won, fighting to free and get rid of slavery. And the amazing thing about America is the founders deliberately set up a document the Constitution, the founding document of this country, which said we recognize major flaws in the country that we are creating, and because we are fighting to create a more perfect union, we will create a way in which, and we hopefully will be utilized sooner rather than later, to rectify this issue. And you know what it was? And you know what happened? A whole bunch of white people, in addition to black people, died fighting to have it happen. America is not an evil, awful, terrible place. America is the greatest idea ever conceived by man, 100% blessed by God. We are so lucky to be here, and it just sucks when you hear morons like Don Lemon and the radical liberal left try to tear it down. Did we have problems? Absolutely. Have people fought to correct those problems of all races, creeds, sexes, nationalities? Absolutely. That is what America is.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC, and there was some speculation on whether Ron DeSantis would send another plane of migrants, this time going to the beach in Delaware. President Biden responded. He said he should come visit. We have a beautiful shoreline. And then there's that Texas sheriff who's opening an investigation into DeSantis's, quote, kidnapping of migrants. He believes there's some more, quote, criminal activity there.
So Ron DeSantis got asked about this, and he is so good at totally shredding stupidity and liberalism, but doing it in a way that I feel uber proud to play it on our show every single day. Listen.
So when Biden is flying these people all over the fruited plain in the middle of the night, I didn't hear a peep out of those people, okay? I didn't hear a peep. I haven't heard a peep about all the people that have been told by Biden, you can just come in, and they're going, they're being abused by the cartels, they're drowning in the Rio Grande. You had 50 that died in some shed in Texas. I heard no outrage about any of that. I haven't heard outrage about all the fentanyl that's come across the border that's killing Americans in record numbers. I don't hear outrage about the criminal aliens that have gotten through and have then victimized people, not only in Florida, but all throughout the country. I didn't hear any outrage about that. The only thing I hear them getting upset about is you have 50 that end up in Martha's Vineyard. Then they get really upset. And I'm sorry.
Big DeSantis energy, right?
Yes.
Perfect. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Why are you looking upset about this?
I'm not upset. It was just an interesting choice.
You hate this country or something?
No. Feeling good or patriotic. Next to you. Come on, Rob. Are you feeling it?
Ain't no doubt I love this land.
Sing along in your car.
God bless the USA. You know, somebody suggested they really enjoyed, remember I read Stayin' Alive, the lyrics to Stayin' Alive?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should do that each day. Maybe we should like pick a song and I will read an opening, what do they call that music? Stanza? Mm-hmm. Is that what they're called?
A chorus.
Chorus, you know.
Is it going to be like a guess the song sort of thing from the lyrics?
That would be a great idea.
Okay, we'll workshop that.
Because they were like, remember yesterday at our staff meeting, they're like, you guys need more buckets on your show. Mm-hmm. Things that fit into buckets.
Yeah.
Guess the song. Maybe that'll be
that'll be a bucket.
Oh, I will read the lyrics without the music.
I love it.
We'll see how long it takes you to get it.
Let's talk about Indiana's unemployment rate. It inched up last month. It went from 2.6% in July to 2.8% in August. So there are now 2.7 million Hoosiers working in the private sector, which is a historic peak. Jobs are growing.
Wait.
Yeah.
Wait. Okay, so we are a state of 7 million people. Now, I would guess what? Maybe 20% of those are ineligible to work either for being not of working age or incapable of working due to physical ailment, age, whatever. But that still leaves, that seems like a staggeringly low number in the private sector. I mean, it is. I mean, I realize the federal government, when I worked for the state auditor, I believe it was the federal government, the state government, and Walmart were the three biggest employers at the time. Because I remember they used to give that in the speech about, and when they give that in the speech, it's like, why would you be telling people this? Like, the largest employers are the government. Mm-hmm. That just seems like a staggeringly low number where roughly, well, let's just say 5.5 million people can be working. Only, what was your number?
2.7.
So about half are private. We should not be excited about that.
So jobs are growing in transportation and utilities.
But the question I have for the 2.8%, well, that is, I guess, better than the national average. And I guess maybe this is a question for the entire nation. Help wanted signs mm-hmm. are everywhere. Mm-hmm. And how in a world where help wanted signs are everywhere could any able-bodied person, now again, this is taking out the elderly or the people who have some sort of physical ailment that prevent them from working, but how is it possible that any person could be unemployed in the environment in which help wanted signs are everywhere? How is any able-bodied person receiving unemployment? Because it shouldn't be what job you want. It's, is there a job available?
Yeah.
And we have a society now where it's like, well, just look till you get the job that you want. No. That's not the way it should work at all. You're taking my money. Mm-hmm. You will work where the job is available. And if you want to keep looking for another job, good luck, have fun. But I'm not sure how any able-bodied person is able to stay on an unemployment roll for more than about 8 seconds.
So you're saying that if you're collecting unemployment, you should be, in the meantime, working possibly a crappy job.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not the dream job at the end of the day, but you have to subsidize your income.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we are a society that allows people to look for what fits you, look for what fits your previous income level, etc. And that's how unemployment is based too, based largely off your income level.
Mm-hmm.
It blows my mind that we allow this to happen. I live in Brownsburg. There are literally signs hanging off large warehouses that are built very close to roads that say help wanted, $22, $23 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
How are we giving people unemployment? Hello, there's warehouses all over central Indiana.
over Brownsburg, right?
That if you have a pulse and can lift a box, we'll mm-hmm. hire you.
Yeah.
Why are people getting unemployment? Someone help me. At Rob M. Kendall on Twitter. I'd give you my email, but I don't know what it is anymore because it's like 93 things. Apparently only people who work with us know, or the junk mail people have found it. But at Rob M. Kendall on Twitter, tell me, how is that possible? That with every building, help wanted, apply within, mm-hmm. that anybody's getting unemployment at this point.
Yeah, well, it's trending up too. Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock, okay, help me out with this because it seems like every other day there's a new poll done on these two, and every other day it switches. One day Warnock's in the lead, one day Walker's in the lead, and then it flips.
Uh-huh. Well,
and this one, this new poll from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, they've got Walker in the lead for this one, Herschel Walker?
Yes. So and you're right. There have been various polls that have shown various things, but the majority of polling now, magically how that happened when the calendar hit 30 days inside of early voting mm-hmm. or getting close to that, the majority of polling now is showing Herschel Walker usually between like 2 and 4 points ahead, which is the exact opposite of what you were seeing in May and June and July and into August. And it was, boy, Herschel Walker, what a dummy, what a ding-dong. No point in even running him. I don't even know why that they're even going to be an election. Raphael Warnock is a beloved pastor, and everybody's just going to vote for him. And boy, isn't it funny, Casey? What's happening in Georgia is the same thing that's happening in New Mexico and in Arizona and to an extent in Pennsylvania. Herschel Walker's going to be United States Senator. Go ahead and mark that one down. And I've been telling people this. Herschel Walker's been mocked and made fun of and belittled and told he has no chance. He's been told this ever since he decided he was going to run first of the year. And I have said, and you know our job, Casey, is to be right. And it's very rare we're wrong when I make a definitive statement. And I've been telling people this no matter whether Herschel Walker was down 10 or he was down mm-hmm. 5 or he was down whatever.
Well, just last week, Quinnipiac had him down by 6 points.
Right, exactly.
Then the one today has him up by 2.
Because the polling has to start being right about now, because that's how they get judged. And there are a whole bunch of people, and this is why Herschel Walker, I've said this for, we're September, 9 months now. Herschel Walker will win because there's a whole bunch of dudes who are between the ages of 40 and 60 years old, mm-hmm. who remember Herschel Walker as the guy who won a national championship and was the best player in college football, and football is life in the state of Georgia, mm-hmm. and the Georgia football team just won a national championship. They're good again. Memories are riding high. Nostalgia's riding high. And those people are people who are not often found in polling. It's why I knew Trump was going to win in 2016. Because Trump appealed to a whole bunch of people who are hard to find, who normally do not show up in polling. Herschel Walker is that person. Just go ahead and mark it down.
Same thing. And he shows up with name recognition before he's ever even done anything. He didn't even have to open his mouth and people knew who he was.
Now, I think Larry Bird is I don't know this for sure, but from I've heard, and Larry Bird's not political that I know of, but if Larry Bird were a traditional Republican and decided, let's say Mike Braun decided not to run. I'm just trying to give you the best example I can of this. Let's say Larry Bird were a traditional conservative Republican and Mike Braun decided not to run and Larry Bird said, I'm going to run for United States Senate. This is the best example I could give you. It's not an apples for apples comparison, but there's a whole bunch of people who otherwise might not normally vote, who you bet your bottom dollar would be at the polling location on election day or early vote for Larry Bird, who are not even overtly political people.
Right. And without him even saying what his politics are, people would vote for him.
Now,
Herschel
Walker does still have some minefields to get through. He's got to get through a debate. He's not experienced. He even was making fun of himself the other day, basically setting low expectations, saying, I'm not a smart guy like Warnock, etc. But if Herschel Walker navigates through the debate minefield, as I've been telling everyone, regardless of what the polls said for 9 months now, will be a United States senator. And it comes to our next story, which is Doofus McConnell is now, there's a story from Breitbart which says, oh, McConnell's apparently much more optimistic than he was 3 weeks ago when he was saying, I think the Senate could be in danger.
Right. And then now he's changing his tune, saying, no, we got it. So he was holding like some closed door meetings.
Yes, he was very concerned
last week, and he was trying to brace people for bad news?
Setting reasonable expectations while people who are actually, because they're not McConnell people for the most part. He's quasi-embraced Herschel Walker by force. Masters is not his guy in Arizona. Oz is not his person in Pennsylvania. Vance is not his guy in Ohio. And that's the most Mitch McConnell thing, where if it's not my people, then I'm not going to help out unless I begrudgingly have to. And now he's starting to say, whoa, I guess maybe people will vote for affording food over abortion. What a novel concept.
Record ad spending expected.
Mitch McConnell's a moron.
Like $3.6 billion this political season.
Wait, I should end this on something positive.
Hey, Kevin's back tomorrow.
I said something positive.
Kevin's back tomorrow.
Jaden and Kylan did a phenomenal job filling in.
They did.
And I hope everyone has a great day.
Thanks, Rob. Have a great day. We'll see you here tomorrow. That I'm proud.